Jeff, you and I built this RetroPie gaming system.
Yes.
RetroPie is an installation, a distribution of Linux that you can install on a Raspberry Pi.
Yes.
You can go back to episode number 442.
Was it that long ago?
Episode 442 of Category 5 Technology TV, and our website is category5.tv, so just look for Category 5 Technology TV on there, and episode 442. And Jeff and I sat down, we built our first RetroPie, it was fantastic.
So good.
It gives us retro gaming on a Raspberry Pi, and it gives us the ability to use PS3 controllers.
Yes. Yep.
How awesome. But one of the things that we've run into is that as we've added more and more ROMs, which are game rips, basically, to the RetroPie, it gets full. And then you've got to delete some of the games in order to make room for other games, especially considering it can emulate the PlayStation 1.
Yes.
So the Sony PlayStation. The graphics are great. The gameplay is much more current. And it fills up really quickly because some games are, you know, they're from DVDs. So some of them are going to be in the gigs.
Quite large.
Yeah. So when you've got a 32 gig micro SD card that came with our kit at cat5.tv/pi, you do run out of space once you've loaded up a bunch of games. Mm-hmm. So what we've set out to do tonight, I've got a Kingston 128 gig micro SD card.
It's good size.
This is a fantastic card. You're going to find these, actually. We have them on our website because we, you know, sure, when you buy stuff through our website, it supports the show. We appreciate that very, very much. But part of it also is that I want you to get the stuff that we recommend. These cards will read at up to 90 megabytes per second.
Really?
They will write at up to 80 megabytes per second.
That's fast.
Hear me there. These are very, very fast micro SD cards. So reading and writing, these are what we use in our cameras because we don't want any trouble when we're shooting 4K. We don't want any trouble when we're shooting 1080p or when we've got 360 video recording in real time. It's just not worth the risk. So we want really, really fast micro SD cards. So that's where these Kingston cards come in, and you can get one at cat5.tv/pi. You'll see all of the recommended hardware there. Then Kingston has also provided us with a Mobile Lite G4
love that thing.
Micro SD card reader.
Love it.
It's great. It's a USB 3 card reader, so it works very, very quickly when you connect it to a computer. Now, the Raspberry Pi has only USB 2, so it's quite a bit slower than this card is capable of. But basically, here's the thing. This ain't going to be your bottleneck.
That's right.
Okay.
I use that all the time at home.
The card reader?
Yeah.
Fantastic. I do actually as well. I've got a couple of them that I keep on hand. I literally do. Okay. Because I use them all the time. They also support SD cards.
Yes.
But they support the micro SD without the need for an adapter. It goes right in there. So what we have set out to do tonight is a little bit different.
Okay.
Now, we had thought about, well, why don't we take that 32 gig card, image it to an image file, and then reburn it onto a 128 gig card, expand the file system, and then we've got a 128 gig card.
Makes sense. Most people would probably go that route.
That makes sense, for sure. I had some trouble with the card that we were using previously.
Okay.
So it didn't work out, and so I set out for a different option, and what we're going to do today is we're going to be adding this card as basically a second hard drive on that Raspberry Pi.
Okay.
So we're not going to replace the 32 gig card that has RetroPie on it. We're instead going to supplement it by adding this.
But there's only one micro slot in there.
Hence the Kingston card reader.
There we go.
Yes. Okay, so let's, now I've got SSH on my, now I'm on Linux, so I can just SSH into the Raspberry Pi. But the first thing that we want to do, as you can see, RetroPie is loaded, emulation station is running, so I want to actually exit any games that I have running right now. Got to fire up my controller. Notice that it's completely wireless. This is a Bluetooth controller, the PS3 controller, and Raspberry Pi has built-in Bluetooth. So I can reset and exit the game. And now, let's quit emulation station. And we're just going to let that kind of shut down. And it takes a moment to completely exit out. But what we're going to get is the IP address of our RetroPie system.
Okay.
That, now you'll notice that I've got a Ethernet cable here connected. This Ethernet cable, normally we wouldn't need that on a RetroPie because these are retro games. And of course, retro games do not, you typically use an internet connection, so it's unnecessary. So you can just go with power on the USB and HDMI for video output. But today, because we're going to be connecting into it, making some changes to the system and using SSH in order to access the Linux operating system, we're going to use that network cable to do that.
Okay.
So it saves me having to plug in a keyboard and plug in a mouse and do all this and that, and I can control everything over an SSH connection. So if it exits down there for us, takes a moment. Through the magic of television, we can always speed this up.
I love that magic of television.
It's fantastic, and we're going to utilize it a lot tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're going to be doing some crazy stuff.
You know what's funny? This whole time it's going on, I don't think Sasha's heard a word we've said.
What are you up to, Sash?
I'm fidget spinning.
Are you actually
I'm trying to make it spin without touching it.
Oh.
Okay. I'm seeing her out of the corner of my eye. She's just like mesmerized.
This is out. So we've got this exited now. So if we look at the screen, it says a little bit of information about it. Shows us that we have used 94% of our micro SD card. That's no good. We're going to run out of space here.
Yep.
So the IP address today is 192.168.0.102.
Okay.
So I'm going to just clear out what I've got open on my screen here. Let's jump over to Linux. And I'm going to type sshpi at 192.168.0.102. And that is, of course, the IP address as it appears on the screen once I've exited Emulation Station. My password is raspberry. And remember, there's a P in the word raspberry. And there's the same screen that we see after having exited Emulation Station. Okay, so I'm going to jump into... Now, I'm already in my home folder when I first log in. You'll see a folder called RetroPie and RetroPie Setup. I want to go into RetroPie, and then we're going to see a bunch of folders, and one of them is called ROMs. And when I go into ROMs, we can see that that has a ton of systems mm-hmm. that are emulatable on the RetroPie.
Yes.
So that's where all the games are. They're inside that folder. So if we just move those off onto another drive and basically use the magic of Linux in order to allow the ROMs folder to, instead of being a folder, an actual other SD card, then we're going to free up all of that space. If I look at this, like I'm talking a lot here, Jeff, if I do DU, which is disk usage dash H for human readable, look at the bottom there, I'm using currently 24 gigs on that card just for my ROMs,
right,
to games. So if I move this, I'm going to free 24 gigs on that 32 gig card. Think about that.
And just looking at the screen I'm seeing right there, you've got SNES.
Oh, yeah.
And Nintendo 64. Those,
ooh, boy.
Like, those two are much larger sizes than the other ones.
Sure.
And I can only imagine much bigger the PlayStation 1 is.
Yeah, well, we can actually find out if we go into, let's see, it's PSX, I believe. And if I do a DU-H in that folder, it shows that it's 17 gigs.
Wow.
Just in the PlayStation folder. Okay.
Wow.
So, yes, definitely that's one of the, heavy users
for
sure. Okay. So, I've got my micro SD and my micro SD card reader.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we're going to now permanently use. Now, you can use any micro SD card reader that you want. But the key thing to remember with this particular one is, as I mentioned here, Jeff, it reads SD cards and micro SD cards.
Right.
Do you have a card reader in your computer? If you do, you've probably noticed that you've got a cluster of empty drives.
Yes.
In your computer. So if you're on Windows, you're going to see an F drive and a G and an H and an I. And as soon as you plug in an SD card, all of a sudden I comes to life.
Right.
If you plug in a different card, say a CF card, then your G drive comes to life, right? So each one is assigned a different drive. So it's important to remember, because this has two card readers in it,
mm-hmm.
it's actually going to show as two drives.
Right.
But I'm only plugging in one card. So we need to remember that, hey, this is now going to be a two drive device that we're inserting. So if I ever install on this and make changes and replace this card reader with one that only has one micro SD.
It's going to have an impact.
It's going to change the drive assignment. So we're going to use what's called UUIDs tonight, and you're going to learn a little bit. This is not necessarily all Raspberry Pi. This is Linux 101. We're going to learn about mounting file systems and formatting file systems and copying files around and mount points and how to do all that, which is really a Linux thing. And I think one of the things that we hit is that when we set up RetroPie, we may not necessarily be Linux gurus. We may just be gamers that want to have a retro gaming system.
Right.
So I hope that tonight helps you out. I'm just going to plug this drive into the system. Before I do that, I want to show you on the screen, if I do an /dev/sd*, you'll see no such file or directory. And if I do fdisk-l, oh, I'm not super user. Let's become super user, sudo su. And then I enter, I don't even need to enter a password. Fantastic. Okay, fdisk-l, and you'll see I've got just these two partitions available to me, and these are both on the internal 32 gig card. All right? So theoretically, as soon as I plug this in, I'm going to see more drives.
Correct.
So let's do it. I'm just going to plug this into any one of the USB ports that are on the RetroPie. There we go. It's in. And so from above, it just kind of looks like that. I've just plugged it in right there. And here we go. Let's do the same thing. ls/dev/sd*. Now we see SDA, SDB, and SDB1. So we know that SDA is the full-sized SD card reader because there's no partition. It's not detecting a drive.
Right.
SDB is the micro SD. We know that because we are seeing a partition there. SDB1 is the partition of that hard drive. So that SD card, which is showing as a hard drive. So fdisk-l now, you'll see that SDB1 is being detected, and it shows as 116 gigs. So what we need to do is we need to, with that information, we need to now format that drive. So we've got dev/sdb1, okay? And if we do that directory listing, we can see that. So we need to format that. So we need to type, we need to choose our file system, which I'm going to go with ext3. So we're going to type mkfs for makefilesystem.ext3 and then /dev/sdb1. And that's going to format that to an ext3 file system, which I can say yes. And there's the magic of television zooming along tonight for us. I think this is going to go well. So now, once that's finished, Jeff, we're going to have this card completely formatted, completely blank, and ready to rock.
Good times.
Here it comes. Wait for it. And we're done. That's all there is to it. Now, that took, in real time, about, let's say, 20, 25 minutes.
Okay,
so keep in mind, it's going to take you some time to format that drive. We sped it up through the magic of television, as we call it here at the studio. But for you, it's going to take a fair bit longer, especially for a 128 gig card. And because I'm doing it on the Raspberry Pi, it's a little bit slower. I could, if I wanted to, format that EXT3 from another Linux computer that has USB 3, and it's going to be quite a bit more zippy. Okay, so we know the location of our ROMs, but first of all, we can see, okay, we've got the drive now, SDB1, we've formatted it, it's ready to rock, but our next step is that we've got to mount this thing so that we can start copying things. So we need to create a mount point, and I can call that /mnt/sdb1, but for your sake, I'm just going to call it whatever, and then that way, you know that there's a differentiation. We're actually creating that as a mount point. So you see that? Whatever. It's a folder. But we're going to mount our hard drive to that. So mount/dev/sdb1, and then the destination is /mnt/whatever. And now it's mounted, no errors. And if I type ls to the RetroPie folder in home, I'm going to see all the ROMs that are there. So these I need to actually start copying over from the built-in, basically the internal SD card. I need to start copying those onto the new external SD card, which is completely blank. and we know that it's located at /MNT/MN/whatever. We know that the ROMs on the internal card are in the /home/retropy/pi/retropy/ROMs. So in order to copy those over, now that I've mounted that, I can type CP-R for recursive, and then P, lowercase, for preserve your permissions, and that preserves the ownership of the files, the actual permissions of the files. Mm-hmm. Don't forget, dash R is a capital R, so that it gets all of the subfolders and files, yep. And lowercase p to copy all the permissions so that you don't have a problem where, for some reason, after doing this, because we're root, you're going to lose access to those ROMs. And then if you're not a Linux guy, you might have some trouble.
So if you're not somebody who's, you know, up to date on all the Linuxiness of it, what happens if you use small r or a big P and you reverse them? Are you going to get an adverse effect?
Well, they're different. They're different commands.
Okay.
And off the top of my head, I don't even know what they are.
Okay, fair enough.
So capital R is recursive. Lowercase p is preserve your permissions and ownership.
Case sensitive people.
What is a lowercase r? What is an uppercase p? I don't know. I don't use those ones.
Fair enough. Okay.
Fair enough. You can look it up. Read the man pages. Okay, so the source is /home/pi/retropy/ROMs/*. For everything in that folder. Then our destination is, of course, /MNT/whatever. And hit enter. And moment of truth. How do we know if it's copying, Sasha? We can bring up another SSH terminal window.
Yes, we can.
We can do HTOP like we learned last week, but I can just SSH right into that system a second time. So I've got two windows now, and I can log in again. So let's do that. And then I can navigate to the mount point where I'm copying to, my destination, and let's just see. Is stuff landing there? And there we go. So we're starting to see. Notice that everything is owned by Pi, where it's applicable. There is a symlink there. I can see that if I type du-h, which we already learned, we can see that 18 megs is currently being used. So it is making progress. It's copying away, and we can keep doing that du-h if we want to see the progress. Remove the .h if you're not seeing it increase past 18. It might be that it's moving slowly. Right. So removing the -h will stop rounding, and you'll get the actual full length, how many bytes have been used.
All right.
Okay. So our copy process is complete. It took some time because there's a lot of data there. But again, we've sped things up for you tonight. This is a live show, but I did kind of pre-do some of this stuff beforehand up to this point. So from here on in, everything that you see is in real time. Everything is live. And we're going to actually take that SD card now, which we formatted. We have copied all of the ROMs too. And notice that we copied them. Mm-hmm. Sasha, last week we had a problem with our micro SD card when we tried this very feature. And just guess why we're doing a copy routine here instead of a move routine. Referring back to episode number 476. What was it? 496. Pardon me.
In case you have a corrupted situation.
Could happen.
Yeah.
Could happen,
folks. You want to copy. You don't want to move.
Imagine if you moved all your files over, and we see this all the time in business where somebody says, oh, I moved all my stuff. They call it a backup. But no, they moved all their files, their photos and everything onto this new external hard drive that they bought, and then they dropped it. And then it's gone.
Yeah.
In our case, if we had moved all these ROMs over to that bad SD card last week, then we would have lost those ROMs.
Mm-hmm.
So what I've done instead is we've copied recursively with maintaining the permissions. So now we have a copy on the original card and on this new external card as well. So we're going to jump. You have a question?
I was actually going to say, one of the things I love about the show is we have the chat room.
Yes.
I asked the question about the big P, little P, big R, little R.
Yeah, okay, what do we got?
It's a Dr. Seuss book or something. Okay. So Sparkly Ball has helped us out.
Thanks, buddy.
Little R is copy recursively non-directories as files. Big R is copy directories recursively. Big P is append the source path to directory.
That's not what we wanted.
No. And small P is preserve file attributes if possible.
There you go.
So educating you on the fly.
Linux is case sensitive, and you're going to find that. You notice when we go into cd /home/pi/ RetroPie with a capital R and a capital P. If I left off those caps, it's going to say that folder doesn't exist.
Right.
Because you can have two different folders that have exactly the same name but different capitalizations.
Been there, done that.
Mm-hmm.
There was a pain in the butt to fix that mistake.
Keep that in mind. Thank you for helping us out there, Sparkly Balls. Okay, so jumping back to our SSH terminal window here. So now we're going to, in fact, we've got two copies, as I was saying. So I'm just going to quickly prepare this. We're going to remount this because I actually did that step a little before the show. So mount B1 to mount whatever. Okay, so now we are right back where we were, where we started. Our copy is complete. Do you want to confirm that your copy is complete? Do we want to make absolutely certain that it matches? We can actually do something like this. We can do... well, currently I'm in /home/pi/retropi/rom, so I can do du-h. You can see 24 gigs. That's not good enough for me. I want to do just du, and we've got 243.18700/mnt/, and we're going to go into whatever, and I'm going to go du, so 8700. So it's a little bit off, and that could be because of various different things. But we can see that everything is there. It's 24 gigs. There could have been, like, hidden little system things or whatever. But
right.
I guarantee you everything's there. So we know that the files are there. We've got 24 gigs in our /mnt/whatever. So now our final step, if you can believe this. Sasha, you ready?
Yes.
Our final step is to now turn that drive, our new drive, into our ROMs folder. Okay. How the heck do we do that?
How do we do that, Rob?
Yeah. We learned about mounting because we created a mount point called /mnt/whatever, and we mounted to that. So we know through that that we can mount anything, any other drive to a folder. So if I go cd dot dot and then I type umount, remember I am super user right now, umount whatever, that means unmount whatever. Now if I do ls whatever, it's an empty folder. What? Because I unmounted it. If I remount it, or mount it again, and do the same thing, ls whatever, you'll see everything's there. So then umount whatever, and it's gone. Okay, so nothing has been deleted. It's just that I've turned off that mount point. It's right. Now a folder. It's empty, and there's nothing to it. So there's nothing there because nothing's mounted on it. And you can confirm these things by typing mount, and it will show you all the things that are currently mounted.
Now, if your system has to reset,
yeah,
will it be unmounted? Like, will those changes be undone? So that
we're going to learn how to make it permanent here.
Oh, perfect.
So
I'm jumping the gun.
Yeah, a little bit. And that's fine. Of course, we're going to learn how to make this a permanent thing. Okay, I just want to make sure that I have... Yeah, okay. All right. I just saw when I typed mount that there was something that one of my tests was still mounted, and I just fixed that. You may have caught that. So dev/stb1 is just the media/USB. Okay, so now I have gone to /home/pi/retropi, and if I do ls roms, there's my roms in the internal SD card. So do I want to delete that? No, remember we're talking about redundancy here, okay? So we're going to move it instead. We're going to move roms to roms dash, let's call it BAK for backup, okay? So now, if I booted up my RetroPie, it's going to crash out because there's no roms folder. It's gone. So I need to make a folder called roms.
Simple enough.
Mm-hmm. Do an ls dash li, lah, and you'll see that it's owned by root, so I need to ch own pi colon pi roms, okay? So now, everything looks right. Okay. If I do an ls roms, you'll see it's empty. If I do ls roms back, you see all my stuff is there. Mm-hmm. So, next thing we want to do is enter our roms folder, okay? And we're going to type chattr+i, enter. And let's add a dot at the end of that for the current folder. Now, ls, nothing has changed. What has changed? If I touch something, touch test, permission denied.
Ah.
Okay. So what I just did with the chatter command is I told it that if this is not mounted right now, don't allow anything to accidentally get written to this folder. Because okay. if you do, then you're no longer going to be able to mount your external drive. So if I booted it up and I had that unplugged for some reason and then accidentally threw some ROMs on there, then I would lose my mount point because it's now a folder with recursive files and I can't mount it anymore. So chatter allows me to block the ability to accidentally put anything in this folder. If I try to do anything, test. Watch what happens when I try to write that file. Error writing. Permission denied, even though I am super user. Okay? So that's a great thing to do. So to give you an idea what I'm actually going to do, so I've created this new folder called ROMs. Okay? ROMs back is just a backup so that we can make sure everything works before we delete it. Now, remember our mount command? /dev/sdb1. And then we're going to do this instead. Home, pi, retropy. Make sure you use the whole path, okay? We're not just going to do ROMs. ROMs. Enter. Now, ls, ROMs. All of our ROMs are there. But they are on SDB, that external hard drive. SDB1 on that. It's mounted to that.
Okay.
Okay? So a couple of advantages to this. First of all, unlimited space, because we can just add a bigger card if we wanted to. Secondary, we can turn off the Raspberry Pi, unplug the card reader with the 128 gig card, plug it into our Linux laptop, and copy more ROMs to it. We don't need to use Samba. We don't need to do anything else. We can copy and manipulate the file system on a computer screen with the GUI if we want, and then just plug it back in, boot it up, and everything's there.
So the same process would work if, say, you know, you've got a 128 gig card, and you say, you know what, I'd really rather just have a 500 gig external hard drive.
You can do that.
The exact same thing applies.
Exactly the same process to format it, to mount it, to prepare it, to copy the files. Everything is the same. You could have a 3 terabyte external hard drive plugged into that and do the exact same thing.
Unlimited power.
But the question that you raised already is, how can we make sure that this is persistent?
Yes.
Because right now I mounted it, but if I reboot, ROMs is now going to be just an empty folder that you can't write to.
Right.
So we're not going to be able to do anything with it. When we come back after this quick break, we're going to learn how we can actually make this a permanent mount point so that when that is plugged in, when we turn on the RetroPie, it's going to automatically mount it in the right place, and we're going to start gaming from our 128 gig.
So excited!
Stick around. We'll be right back. Jeff Weston.
Yeah, man.
You're building a brand new, beautiful website.
What?
Aren't you?
No. Am I?
Oh, you're a terrible actor.
What?
This is where acting comes into play.
Oh, I didn't know we were acting.
You're supposed to act.
Okay, fair enough. All right.
Yeah, I'm building a really cool website. Are you building a really cool website? You need hosting. One of the things about a hosting account is you don't want to have limitations put on your website.
It's true.
How much hard drive space do you have? How many email accounts? How many domains can point to it? Well, we've got an amazing deal for you. For a very limited time, cat5.tv/dreamhost. For just $5 and a bit of change per month, you are going to get unlimited website hosting, unlimited email accounts on that hosting service. You are also going to receive a free domain name.
Ooh.
So your own .com.
Nice.
To put that amazing website that you've been working on
it's
on
true.
There. If you want to build a WordPress site, fine. Sign up. cat5.tv/dreamhost.
Just don't put Panama Papers on it.
Just don't do it. But hey, it's a great deal, folks. Best deal you're going to find. $5 and change per month. Go to cat5.tv/dreamhost. This is Category 5 Technology TV. Welcome back. And tonight we are learning to expand our RetroPie gaming system by adding an extra SD card through an SD card reader. This is cool stuff, folks. We're adding to our 32 gig system another 128 gigs to place all our ROMs on. So before the break, we learned how to set all that up, how to mount it as a temporary like test, how to create all the mount points, and how to make it so that you don't accidentally write to that mount point. The question came up in the chat room just as we were on break there. What would happen if you didn't move the ROMs to ROMs-back, mm-hmm. and you tried to mount to it ROMs? And the answer is, and this is why we use Chatter just before the break, is if the folder that you're trying to mount to has anything in it, if it is anything other than a completely empty folder, mounting will fail. Okay? I can demonstrate that by simply doing mount slash dev slash sdb1 roms dash back. And if, well, that's a bad example because it's the same files. Right. So it's going to look exactly the same. And in fact, it may actually let you do that, but then, see, you get a real problem. So if it does, it let me do that. If it does let you do that, you can run into this problem where you're not sure which drive you're writing to.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
So perhaps maybe Linux now, back when I started with Linux, it wouldn't even allow it. Now it looks like it did take. So the answer then is, has to be adapted to say, okay, you could probably mount it, but then how do you know which folder you're looking at? Right. So when you copy files over and ROMs over, then how do you know that it's to the right card?
Right.
And you don't lose access to those and get all confused. And I had that happen when I was younger, learning Linux, and I was writing a bunch of stuff to a mount point and didn't realize that it wasn't mounted. And so I lost all those files because I didn't understand the difference between the mount point and the mounted file system. So that's pretty brutal. So for us now, we're going to learn how to make this a persistent or permanent change, Jeff. So I'm going to unmount that. So you mount ROMs. So now ROMs is empty again, okay? And if I type mount, you'll see that dev slash SDB1 is, again, just USB 0. So we need to know what's called the UUID. I alluded to this a little bit earlier. The UUID is an identifiable, it's like a fingerprint for this SD card. It's
so UU perfectly is identifiable. Unique user?
Sure, unique let's take
user
it.
ID?
Unique user ID.
Oh, okay.
Let's go with that. I have no idea what it stands for,
just
Jeff.
UUID.
But that sounds good.
All right.
Unique Umbrella Interface Daemon.
It sounds painful.
It's probably a unique user. I don't know. So anyways, it is a unique identifier for that particular drive. If I take that card out and I plug it into a different card reader, my slash dev slash SDB will change.
Right.
That can mess up people. So then all of a sudden you can't mount things because it's not working, and then you realize, oh, my card is now SDA. So we don't use those dev assignments for permanently affixing the mount point. It was good for our tests,
right,
and for doing our formatting and things like that. But for the permanent way, we're going to use the unique identifier so that it will always remain the same because the card's UUID will never change. So that's what we're going to do. I'll show you how to do it. Sound good? BLKID. BLKID is a command that tells you the UUIDs of all of your storage media on your computer. So we see a couple here. We know that these MMCBLK things are the 32 gig card. Those are the ones in the internal card reader. The external card reader shows up for us as SDB1. That's the partition. So the UUID for that is right here within the quotes. And if I highlight this, because I'm on SSH, it makes it super beautiful because I can copy and paste.
Yes.
Right? Because I'm on Linux. I'm on Ubuntu Mate. And I can highlight in a terminal window from the SSH session and copy the UUID. You may, you know, hopefully you've got such a great setup and you can do it that way. Now that that's in my clipboard, I can type nano slash etc slash fs tab. That's our file system table. And now at the end of the file, we're going to add that drive, that partition, as a mount point, as a permanent mount to the file system tab. It's all going to make sense in just a second. UUID, all uppercase. Remember, things are case sensitive. Equals, no space. Edit, paste. So UUID equals that. Space. Where do we want to put that? Slash home slash pi slash retro pi with the caps where they go slash ROMs. What is the file system type that we chose? ext3 space. What do we want to do? Defaults. How do we want to do it? Zero.
Always a good time. Category 5.
And the last zero...
Should have seen that coming.
The last zero says, don't scan this thing at boot up. So if you reboot a bunch of times... Oh, no. The first zero says, don't scan it. The second zero is the order in which you're going to scan it if it does, which we're not doing, so zero is fine. Okay, so it's got to be written like that. UUID equals, and then the UUID. The mount point is /home/py/retropy/roms, and then the file system is ext3 in our case. It's whatever you format it to. And then defaults, and then 0, 0. Output with control O, enter, and control X. If you get a file you can't save error, then maybe you're not super user. Remember, I use sudo su to become super user. You'll see that I am logged in as root. Who am I? Root. Okay, so now lsroms, nothing has changed. Mount-a, remember, anytime you edit your fs tab, always do mount-a as root before you reboot. You might be tempted to reboot to try it, make sure it worked. Well, then you're going to crash your whole system if it didn't. So it may hang up trying to mount, it may crash out completely because something's broken. Always do mount-a first so that you can test that it's going to work. Hit enter. No errors. What happens when I type ls space roms? Ready for the moment of truth, Sasha?
Yes.
And enter.
Yeah!
You know, as I'm sitting here watching over your shoulder, I feel like I need to say, did you see the woman in the red dress?
What are we on about?
I feel like I'm watching a scene from The Matrix.
Oh.
All that code, oh. Just the way you work it through it. It's like, yeah. You're just pulling this stuff out, and I'm watching. It's almost like on the screen, I'm seeing the way you're visually seeing all this happen. I'm like, man, this guy's good.
He is, eh?
I know.
I don't even pay these people. Goodness me.
You're very smart.
Well, you know what, Sasha? We had a practice run.
I bet I'm benefiting in this episode because this is my pie, and I'm going
to
go home and play it.
This was Sasha's idea. She needed more space for more ROMs.
You know what a great feature would be, Robbie? Mm. Let's fix up my pie. Mm. Let's do this.
Let's do this. Okay, so let's do this. We know that has worked in that regard, but if I type mount, what do we see? /dev/sdb1 is on ROMs. See that? At the very last entry here. Well, why does it say SDB1? We used the UUID. Because daddy knows, child. It just, that's how it works.
So, totally unrelated to this episode, why is it that every time when you look for something, the thing you're looking for is the very last thing on the list?
It's the last thing I did. It's the last mount point that was added to the mounts.
Okay.
Yeah, the mounts table.
I've always wondered that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Now I know.
Well, because you stop looking when you find it, Jeff.
Well, no, all these episodes, it's all these like little basic fundamental questions that I don't even think about. And then I'm going, oh, wait, why is it that this just happens that way? It's those little things in
deep
life that
thoughts
I appreciate. With
Jeff Weston. Okay, so... let's cat that file again, /etc/fstab. We know that our UUID works. Everything's good. And that, my friends, is the true moment of truth.
Reboot. Did you hear the moment of live action of that?
What a good time.
Of reboot?
Yeah, you know the cartoon show? They're redoing it, but live action.
Reboot. I remember the name, but I can't picture it.
It was a cartoon.
Somebody
I just saw that in the news today.
It.
I was wow. I don't know how I feel about taking a CG show and making real people.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I remember it. Okay. You said CG, I remember. Yeah, that was one of the earlier CG shows. Cool. Here we go. It's loading up Emulation Station. This is our RetroPie setup. Now we've got two SD cards, and if everything goes well, we're going to see games that are in our ROMs folder. Yeah. Okay, are we ready? Let's fire up our game controller.
So you shouldn't have to reconfigure your controller or any settings.
No, nothing like that.
It's all done.
It thinks that this hard drive is the ROM, this SD card or whatever you plugged in is the ROMs folder.
It's wonderful.
It doesn't know any better. I taught it what to do. Where do we want to go?
Atari?
When do we want to do it?
Now.
Atari 2600. Let's see what you got in there. And where am I going, Sash? Okay, so we
Montezuma's
see a game
Montezuma's Revenge.
What is it called?
Montezuma's Revenge.
Montamana?
Montezuma's Revenge.
That starts with an M, I take it.
Yes.
M.
Been there.
On vacation?
Holy cow. D-E-F. Holy cow. How many Atari games do you have?
Many.
No wonder we need to add more space.
I know, right?
See, I'm glad we
did. Atari games are huge.
I've ran out of space.
Not anymore.
M.
I know.
Not now.
I know.
Like, Rob, you want to do another episode?
Mondo. Mondo Pong. Monter Size. Monster Size? Montezuma's Revenge. Is that the one?
Yes.
Go.
He's good.
Come on. Yeah! This looks awesome, Sasha.
Down the
How
ladder.
Do you work it? Okay,
the
there's
ladder.
My jump.
Yeah.
There's my controls. Okay, oh, this is a ladder?
Yeah, you die okay. easy. Jump to the rope. No!
Ah.
Oh.
Other side.
Jump to the rope.
Down. Okay. Go back to the ladder. Go down the ladder.
Okay.
See this
go
one?
Go to the right.
Ah.
Right? And then jump to the rope. Okay, now jump
okay.
to the other ladder.
Oh, okay. And I presume that the rolling skull is a bad guy.
It's a bad guy.
Okay.
Avoid the skull. Time your jump.
Yes! I made
go
it.
Go get the key.
Oh, what's the key do?
That opens either door, right or left. You have to go all the way back.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
I am serious.
I gotta get past the skull man again?
Serious as a
rock. Oh!
No,
I turned into
but you still have the key because it's so nice to you. So you can just
Are you
go to
serious?
The door.
I have the key?
You have the key.
I still have the key.
It's good like that. That's why I like it.
Okay. So I just choose a door?
Yep. Either or.
Oh, come on now.
You have to jump.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, come on now. I am thankful that I do not lose the key. Oh, great.
Okay.
More
Two
skull
skulls.
Guys.
Avoid both of them.
Jump over
You're
me.
You're not avoiding
oh,
them
Oh, come
well.
On. Oh, there's only one now.
Well,
is that
yeah.
all I have to do is just touch them and they disappear?
At some point, you're going to be done with this game. I think you can only die 5 times. How many? You're good. You're good at this. You got all the way to room 2.
Well, hey, for a first time, that's a lot of fun. Okay, so there we have it, folks.
On an off note, just like completely
yeah.
on... If anybody gets a dog or a pet or anything and it's female, can you please name it Pseudo Sue? I think it's hilarious. Please.
The final thing that we can do here, Sash?
Yeah.
The very, very final thing?
Not your child, though.
Let's connect.
Somebody's
yeah, not your kid.
It.
Not your kid. Okay. Let's connect again.
Okay.
And let's get into a RetroPie folder and RM-RF-ROMS-back.
Did they change the logo there?
There we go. It's a raspberry.
It's got a white bottom to it.
Look at that. And now, do you notice that ROM says root, but look at what happens if I look in it. Pi, because it knows, because I used the P, the lowercase p. All right, so now I have deleted the backup version of the ROMs that we created, and we can see that didn't make any changes to anything. Everything works exquisitely.
Good times.
Enjoy.
And now that Sasha has expanded hard drive room, she'll be taking a year hiatus from the show.
That's it.
Right.
That's it.
She's going to be blanking.
Okay.
We've lost Sasha. Sorry, I didn't realize that we didn't have the screen up. So that's all working. So we're in a Nintendo game now, and I can navigate just perfectly fine. Beautiful. Okay, so don't forget, episode number 442, if you're interested in building your own RetroPie system, you can get a kit at cat5.tv/pi, download the free software, find yourself some abandonware ROMs that are available for you, downloadable off the web, and make sure that it's legal in your area. Make sure that the ones you're downloading are not, it's abandonware. A lot of them, like, these are from 1980s kind of things, so sometimes they're available for free downloads, so...